T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Welcome in to the final hour of the program, final half hour of the program. It is ESPN Upstate. Willie P. in for Sturge as we continue on a Wednesday. 844-GSP ESPN is the phone number if you want to comment on anything we've had over the course of our program, including the bad pronunciation and impersonation skills of one Mark Ryan.
I'll say Jamie. They got Jamie breaking with us a lot.
It's of course obviously something we've been talking about over the
course
of today.
Great to join the program today, Mark. This is Will Pelagic, and hopefully I can offer a different perspective and avoid adjudication. And on the program today, going to get to some anti-disestablishmentarianism on the program. So great to be joining you, and always happy to provide a different perspective.
He's trying to sound like a New Yorker, but in reality, he sounds more like the lawyer. Or the judge from the movie My Cousin Vinny. He sounds like Chamberlain. He sounds more like Chamberlain Howler than Jerry Seinfeld. You will be dressed loyally. You will be dressed.
The two Utes. What's a Ute?
The two what?
The two what?
The two Utes. Two
Utes. What's a Ute?
What is a Ute? That's a great movie, by the way. You will rise. I'm speaking a clear, intelligible voice. Is that a good Chamberlain Howler?
It's pretty solid.
It's a pretty solid.
And Marissa Tomei in that film. Wow.
Not available on the 64 Buick Skylark.
And the thing, George Costanza had a chance.
Oh, of course.
He had a shot. She likes short, bald, funny men.
Who would be the weirder couple? Elaine with Keith Hernandez or George Costanza and Marissa Tomei?
George and Marissa. He'd find a way to mess it up. That's what he does. He ruins it.
Elaine didn't like Keith smoking, so that was kind of the way that whole thing fell apart. We've been talking a lot about sports polygamy, the act of rooting for different sports teams inside the same sport. Many of you have chimed in on our Twitter page at ESPN Upstate. Lonzo has coined a brand new term called micro fandom, which is an acceptable form of sports fandom polygamy that has been characterized by short-lived support for a team that is currently playing or has just beaten your rival. 72% of you who have been surveyed at ESPN Upstate believe that sports polygamy is unacceptable. There have been some defenders of that right via Twitter. We will take more if you have them via our phone line, 844-GSP-ESPN, before we get on out of here at the bottom of the hour for Cubs-Phillies here on ESPN Upstate. South Carolina on the practice field this morning. First time to see Tavian Feaster in uniform and in contact drills. He was on the second team for South Carolina behind Mon Denson. Rico Dowdle was not in the portion of practice visible to media, so it was Denson and Feaster both working at the running back position, and of course A.J. Turner, who was of course up till last year primarily a running back, still running mostly on the defensive side of the football. So looked like Feaster was getting a lot of the run there, and we will actually have an opportunity tomorrow. I'm going to be at practice tomorrow in Columbia. We will have an opportunity to talk for the first time since being at South Carolina to Tavian Feaster, so we will have that for you on tomorrow's program here on ESPN Upstate. Switching gears, though, to the defense, we talked a little bit earlier in the show about Jamie Robinson. Of course, he is a big freshman who's been getting a lot of run at nickel and safety, a guy who basically played Robinson's role when he was a freshman was Jamias Williams, who obviously has a lot of the observations from Robinson's perspective, kind of feels very much like Williams did when he was a freshman. He talked about what he's seen from the freshman through the first 10 practices for South Carolina.
I'll say Jamie. They got Jamie breaking with us a lot. You know, Jamie's kind of came on. He, you know, he still got a little bit learning to do, but, you know, he stepped up. He's trying to play that role, you know. Just, you know, some of his physicality, you know what I'm saying, some of his instincts, and just knowing what to do to be out there. Because not defense, you got to know what to do, or you won't be able to. Because much time won't put you out there.
That is Jamias Williams, guy who I think was very, very happy to bring about a return to South Carolina, was Eldridge Thompson, who, if you remember, he had a season-ending injury just three games into his 2018 campaign with South Carolina, a guy who is looking for any way to possibly be a contributor on this team. Of course, he's been repping a lot at the Sam position, and he's thankful that the NCAA gave him another year to come back.
I'm feeling good. Just ready to start playing because I'm feeling really healthy this year. So I really couldn't be frustrated. I was just, how can I say it, just eager to get back. I mean, I knew what I had to do. So it wasn't my first time going through that surgery. So I was just prepared to get ready. I mean, it hurts mentally, but physically you can't do nothing about it. So you just got to relax and just keep going. Focus on what you can focus and control what you can control.
That is Eldridge Thompson. Of course, the position coach that was exposed to the media today was Bucks and outside linebackers coach Mike Peterson, always one of the more entertaining guys that we get a chance to talk to during the time that we get with the assistant coaches. And he is somebody who, if you talk about from the credibility standpoint, somebody who brings a lot of credibility as somebody who played in the league for 14 seasons, of course, was at Florida under Spurrier, and obviously a big part of what they were able to do there. Will Muschamp was able to bring him over from Florida as well. So he is somebody, of course, that brings about a lot of street cred and cachet. Of course, he is the older brother of former Chicago Bears and now current Washington Redskins running back Adrian Peterson. He, of course, is tasked with coaching one of South Carolina's most prominent defensive talents, and that is DJ Wonnum. And something that I want to once again stop down on is that when you see DJ Wonnum on the practice field, it is something to behold because he just has such a different build than the other players on South Carolina's defense. I'm not going to say that he looks like Clowney, but from his height, his agility, and his ability to rush the passer slash drop into coverage and be a difference maker on the defensive side of the football, it is something that you can't duplicate, you can't replicate, and that's something that Mike Peterson will continue to try to utilize as Wonnum steps in to his final year of eligibility.
DJ Wonnum's been great, man. Yeah. You know, he's one of those guys, you know, you love coaching good players. And I enjoy coming to work coaching a guy like that. You know, he does everything right, you know. And the good thing about it, the younger guys getting a chance to see, you know, how you prepare before practice, how you get out there early, how you prepare before games. So he's a valuable tool in my room, not only on the field, but just, you know, just the lessons of how to approach the game.
That is, of course, the voice of Mike Peterson, and another guy who has been a big part of kind of a position transition. There's been a lot of that when it comes to guys who were at one position and now are at others. J.J. Anagbare, who was a big part of South Carolina's D-tackle position a year ago. He and Ricky Sandage were both playing on the interior in a position where South Carolina received a lot of injury attrition a year ago. He has now lost a bunch of weight, moved to the outside, has J.J. Anagbare. He is now around 255, 265, and he is basically being asked now to kind of be on that end position, the end that kind of is currently occupied by Aaron Sterling, although he's played some buck as well. We saw him do a lot of that during the spring, and that's another part of kind of where Mike Peterson has had to put forth a different mentality on J.J.'s shoulders.
Just come out and be productive, you know, play within the scheme of the defense. You know, he's a guy with a lot of talent, you know. Man, my job is to kind of bring that talent out of him. He's kind of new to my group, you know. So right now he's kind of understanding how we do things over there. You know, we call ourselves Buck Life, and we live a different way. We walk a different way. We eat breakfast a different way. So he's kind of getting used to how we do things in our room.
That is, of course, Mike Peterson joining us here on ESPN Upstate. People are getting angry at you, man. People are getting angry at you for your article on the Clemson, South Carolina thing.
I'm glad to get them talking.
Well, this guy is talking about this being the proverbial clickbait. We were talking yesterday about...
Just because you don't like the article doesn't make it clickbait. That's It's one of those words that people throw around all the time.
This originally was a topic on Tuesday's program. We were talking about the potential for South Carolina and Clemson to move their FCS games to either the preseason or to the spring, replace the spring game in that regard, or possibly do it as a controlled scrimmage in the month of August. You referenced a statute that might be on the books from South Carolina that's kind of almost an urban legend that says that South Carolina and Clemson should be required to play in-state FCS schools by the South Carolina State Legislature. We've done a little bit more of research on that. It's either a resolution. I don't know if it's necessarily bound by law because South Carolina 3 years ago didn't play an in-state FCS school. They played Western Carolina instead of an in-state from that perspective.
If somebody specifically knows that it's a statute or a law or a resolution or something, please let us know because we've scoured the internet.
Yeah.
Can't necessarily find exactly what it is.
That's from Sand Lapper Spike. Yeah. That was obviously from that perspective, looking at us from that.
71307 is our text line. You can get in with us there. Just put ESPN in front of your message.
Of course, Porter gets on you for your XFL to the NFL draft debate. Porter says, I think the way the AAF folded, there'll be a lot of reluctancy to go to an alternate route from college to the NFL. Sure. I don't know, man. Vince McMahon's got more money than those AAF guys had.
Yes, he does.
He's a lot better businessman than those AAF guys were.
Yes, he is. And the whole premise is based on if the XFL can remain viable for the foreseeable future.
Or prove to be a viable option.
Or prove to be a viable option, yes. If they fold, they fold. Point is, if the XFL can prove to be a viable league, college football beware.
It's very much a thing that I find to be somewhat intriguing over the course of the next couple of years. Because here's the part of this that I think is worth watching. Somebody's going to get this right. Somebody's going to get this right with regards to providing an alternate way for post-high school graduates to earn a living before they can be in the professional leagues. Now, does the NCAA want to wait for that to happen? Or do they want to do what I think is the right thing and allow them to make money off the name and likeness like the Olympic model? There were so many people who were abjectly against using people who would be looked at as professionals in the Olympics. Like Herb Brooks was very anti when the NHL made their move to put NHL players as part of their Olympic teams. And then that kind of became the norm with regards to the NBA doing it with the Dream Team and other rules involving players allowing to be endorsers of products and being a part of those sports. Like Michael Phelps makes all this money outside of what he makes from the standpoint of as a professional. He's not necessarily what I would consider to be an amateur with regards to swimming, just to use that example. And even think about the when we saw the 1996 gymnastics team on the Wheaties box. I mean, they got a cut of that, guys. So you know, from that perspective, amateurism is a dead ideal. It is not a real thing anymore. The money is too much. Like, it's there. We saw the New York trials, the college basketball trials, come out and put actual values on players. Do you, as the NCAA, want to wait for somebody to figure out how to properly monetize this model? Or do you want to yourselves get out in front of it before your talent base, your crop of talent, folds up into thin air? That is my biggest concern. Because if you want the end, people say, talk about the end of college football and the end of college sports as we know it. Do you want to see a devalued, watered down league? Because that's what you're going to get if the talent base starts going to smithereens. Because someone's going to figure out a way to pay them. There's too much money involved. 844-GSP-ESPN is how you get in touch with us. 71307 on the text line. as well. Start your message with ESPN and go ahead with your message. What was left on the cutting room floor, and a couple of other stories, including this one out of the Little League World Series. We were talking a lot about fair or foul. This one might test the waters of whether or not it was fair or foul. ESPN Upstate.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
What are your thoughts on sign stealing as a principle?
Bad.
Bad?
It's bad. It's part of the game. I mean, it happens.
I have no problem with it.
I don't like it.
I find it under the category of rules of engagement. It's just part of the price of doing business.
It's like you trying to say there should be no rules in war. You're saying mustard gas is okay.
You play to win the game. Hello? You play to win the game. Well, apparently, in the Little League World Series, there is a coach who is ripping mad, accusing another team of stealing signs. I didn't realize we'd ever come to this point, but the Barrington, Rhode Island Little League team is accused of stealing signs to help get to Williamsport, Pennsylvania. This is according to the New Hampshire team. Their manager, Pat Dutton, who lost to Barrington in the regional final last Saturday, made the accusation. He said, you can see runners leaning in, looking in, and they're doing hand gestures to their kid at the plate, indicating what kind of pitch it is and where it's located. You can do that in big league ball, but in little league, it's unsportsmanlike, it's dishonorable, and it's disgusting. They did it the whole tournament and got away with it, and now that's what's representing New England in the Little League World Series. It's a bad look. Aw. Personally,
I get it. It's Little League.
I don't care, though.
Have a little class.
Here's the problem, though. This is what ESPN wants. ESPN wanted this. And again, I'm not trying to disparage the four letter here. I generally try to stay out of anything that gets us in trouble with the folks in Bristol. But I'm not necessarily the biggest fan of the over-making public of the Little League World Series.
I'm trying to think of how to even say that word right.
I don't like how big the
publicizing.
I don't like how big the Little League World Series has become.
Okay.
Okay. It's become way too big. Way too big for its britches. We have way too much of it on TV. Way too much of it being talked about. I think it's fine. I have no problem with it. It's what happened. I mean, there wouldn't be signals if there weren't signals to steal. Right? I mean, that's for me, I just think that's part of the price of doing business. I did an interview. You are familiar with the 1951 one-game playoff between the Dodgers and the Giants where Bobby Thompson hit the home run off of Ralph Branca. The Giants win the pennant, that whole thing?
I have heard of it.
Okay. So I had a chance to do an interview with Ralph Branca, the guy who gave up the home run to Bobby Thompson, which won them that game. And I was excited to do this interview because it's one of the most iconic plays in baseball history. And there was obviously a history from Branca doing interviews with this thing. He's talked about it his entire post-playing life. And every time he had talked, he had given this very honorable, admirable answer with regards to how he dealt with it. He said one of the things that was most iconic that he said was that the team chaplain came up to him afterwards and said, God would not have put this on you if he didn't think you could bear this cross. Does that not sound like an admirable thing?
Sure it does.
So that's the Ralph Branca I thought I was getting when I did this interview with him. Turns out he actually partnered to do a documentary based on the fact that, or based on his assumption and the accusation that the Giants stole the signs based on a mirror that was in center field in the Polo Grounds, and that Bobby Thompson knew that the pitch was coming when he threw that pitch that ended up for the home run that won the Giants the pennant. So instead of getting humble, gracious Ralph Branca, I got a whiny, complaining, bitter old man saying that he stole the sign. They proved it, that they stole the sign. The documentary proves it. And so every time I think about sign stealing, I think about that interview, and I just think about how petty and just ungracious that sounds.
You know, the thing about stealing signs and knowing what pitch is coming, you still have to hit it.
Correct.
It certainly helps knowing what's coming.
Same way I feel about steroids. You still have to hit it. That's the thing. Steroids, it'll help you hit a ball farther, but it won't help you hit it. That's the problem that people always have with when it comes to trying to be negative and flippant about steroids. I want my athletes to be at the utmost peak performance that they could possibly be at. If it take a pill to do that, if it's something that's a recovery technique that they can do, everyone's looking for a way to get an edge.
It's amazing to me that a steroid injected into the knee to repair damage is okay.
Right.
But a steroid that makes your biceps a little bit bigger is verboten.
Which is why, and again, I probably have taken a more hard stance amongst those who cover Clemson than anybody else from the Osterine position, just because I would have liked to see a little bit more transparency from the folks at Clemson on this issue. But at the end of the day, I really didn't give a darn about the fact that they were, quote unquote, using Osterine or figuring out a way to use Osterine, because guess what? I'm a big proponent of the if you ain't cheating, you ain't trying mentality. So in my mind, that Osterine thing at the end of the day is going to be a footnote to the 44-16 victory that Clemson had over Alabama, and they're not taking that gold scepter out of the lobby of Clemson's football operations building. Tomorrow on the show, working on a national guest to talk SEC with us. Might squeeze in one more guest, if possible, on the program as well. Do want to talk about something involving the National Football League. You remember that rule that they passed in the offseason that was a massive overreaction? Well, guess what? It's not working. The pass interference challenge rule, coaches are 1-for-15. This preseason.
Ouch.
Challenging pass interference calls. So that was something left on the cutting room floor today.
So you're
today.
Saying there's a whole lot of, we saw what we wanted to see.
Exactly.
Not what actually happened.
Yeah, people are seeing the pitches with their hearts instead of their eyes. Gray Thompson, last word on the sports polygamy debate. Suddenly I feel incredibly alone with regards to his thoughts on sports polygamy. He believes, I'm guessing, that it's acceptable. Well, you only have 28% of our listening electorate there with you there, Gray, because quite honestly, you've your parts have been disproven when it comes to sports polygamy. The one that, again, I find completely unacceptable is the multiple sports per school. That's the one that, to me, if there is an unacceptable version of sports polygamy, that I believe is the mortal sin version, if you will, rooting for two different schools in two different sports.
No, sir, I don't like it.
One school, one person. And that's how we end out our Wednesday edition with you. For Diesel, I'm Willie P. For the still recovering Mark Sturgis, we say we'll see you tomorrow. Coming up next, baseball on ESPN, Phillies Cubs. So long, South Carolina.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.